We're continuing with the Biurim to try to trace back this Isser that the Mechaber describes using the Lashon of the Zohar as being Chomer Mikol Averis Shebetorah, the most serious of all Averis Shebetorah, and we're trying to understand where is that from. It's not clear. So far, we learned the view of Taisvis. We saw the view of Taisvis, and Taisvis holds that there's a mitzvah saseh. The mitzvah saseh of Peruvu, having children, has included in it also the negative aspect of the issur of hashchosas zera, of wasting the seed. So that's included in the mitzvah saseh of Puravu, of trying to have children, is the prohibition of acting in such a way that is counterproductive in that respect, which is hashchas zera. That's the view of Tosfos. The smak learns that it's an issur of lo stinaf, of immorality, of adultery, that's found in the Aseret HaDibros, the issur of niuf, where he brings some drasha of Chazal. But we learned that the Pnei Yeshua and the Aruch Laner do not agree that that is a complete drasha, but rather that that is an asmachta ba'alma, that that is a hint to this issue of causing oneself to spill seed, of pegam habris. So we're up to, in the Biurim, we're up to Ois Gimel. So that's on the second page that you have, the right-hand side, where it says Biurim, Ois Gimel. Hamagid Mishnah on the Rambam in Yisrabiya, Perchof Aleph, Lomad Issa Zem, Imaisa Shel Erva Einein. So the Magid Mishnah learns this out from the story of the sons of Yehuda in the Parshas Vayeshev of Erva Einein, who, as you know, were not able to provide children for Tamar, and they were guilty of this sin of Hashchas Zera. Chedisa b'Gemara, the Gemara says over there in that sugya, the Gemara brings Nida Yud Gimel. Arm Rabbi Yochanan, next page. Kol Amoitzi Shich V'Zer Levatala Chayiv Misa. So in that Gemara, The Gemara brings this episode, this unfortunate story of Erva Onain wasting their seed, and the Gemara says, "Amaytzi shech v'zel v'tol is chayv misa shnema v'yera bein Hashem hasher osa v'yomas gamayisai." The Torah says that this was ra in Hashem's eyes, this was bad in Hashem's eyes, and Onain was also put to death. Now this is discussed a lot in Achronim. I'm not going to go into it now. I'm not going to any of these reasons at length, because there's plenty what to say about each of them as far as the learning is concerned. They were dealing here with a deraisa that's before Matan Torah, and as you all know, there are complications with that. To learn that something's a deraisa, if it was not clearly spelled out by Matan Torah, by Maimon HaSinai, it was not repeated. And there's a lot to talk about this issue of B'chon Vassaman, the Or Sameach, that there are certain things where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Megala, Hashem's Baruch Hu revealed certain things clearly in the Torah that they're not to his liking, that they bring charon af into the world, dinim and charon af and anger. This is one of them. Even though it is not according to this view, the source is not post Har Sinai, it's pre Har Sinai. Nevertheless, it's a gilui of Hashem's ratzon, and it's a gilui of something that brought destruction to the world, with the Mabul, we'll see that in a minute, the other views, and brought death to the sons of Yehuda. Okay, so that's the third reason, the third marker. Dalad, the fourth marker. Ibn Ezra al pasuk ish al kol she'er b'saroi lois sikravu legalos erva. Now the Torah says in the parasha of Arayas, the Torah there tells us in Achrei Mayis, the Torah says ish al kol she'er b'saroi, that the literal meaning of she'er b'saroi is if you have a relationship with any of those relatives, she'er b'saroi, of your own flesh, meaning your flesh and blood relatives as defined by the Torah, that if you have a relationship with them, then you're in big trouble. However, Ibn Ezra brings from Rav Aaron HaKohen, who as you see was one of the Gaonim in Pumbedisa and Bavel, who said a fascinating thing. This limud is lo sikruvu. Lo sikruvu means don't even get near to this. Now the simple pshat is having a relationship with lo sikruvu. Don't have this relationship with. Don't approach to have a relationship with. But Rav Aaron HaKohen learns that through kriva, coming close, in other words, even without there being an actual relationship with one of these forbidden individuals, there's an issue of kriva vegilui erva that brings to shechva zera levatala, that causes a spilling of seed. So even in the absence of an actual relationship with one of those who are forbidden, kriva, doing something that is going to even be bringing you into the Dalet Amos of that world of Gilei Arayos, which is Hashchas HaZera, Begam HaBris, is Asa. And Ibn Ezra brings this down in the name of Rav Aaron HaKohen. Le'sikruvu legalos erva. That through this kriva, and especially if there's gilui erva that takes place, then there is shichva zera levatala. That's dalet. Hey, halavush, the lavush also learns this from before Maimon HaSinai. Lomad istazah midor hamabel, shenemar ki hishchis kol bosar darkai al haaretz. He learns this from the Lashon of the Torah of Hishchis Kolbasa. V'hi ha'shchasa she'osu dor hamabel she'hishchisu es zaram. There are other sources that show that this word hashchasa is used in the context of hashchasas zara, the destruction of seed. And since it says by the Mabel, Hishchis Kolbasa, so the Levush understands, as it's brought down in Chazal, that at least as far as the men are concerned, the main cause of that of that destruction that was brought by the flood, by the marble, was because of Hashchasas Zera, immorality in general, and also Hashchasas Zera, Hishchis Kolbasa. Vav, Ha'aruch L'Ner. So the Aruch L'Ner writes, Av Shalei Matzano Azhar Mefureshes Le'Isser HaGadol D'Hashchas HaZera, even though we don't have any clear warning spelled out in the Torah for this Isser of Hashchas HaZera, Mikomo Kom Ulai Ha'Azhari Himiloi Sashchis. So he says a chiddush to Aruch L'Ner, that the issur of leisashchis, k'mo sheyesh bechlal azhar zu lachbol ba'atzmai, the same way that a person is not allowed to physically injure himself, there's an issur of leisashchis to wound to injure oneself. This too, the Aruch HaNeir understands that Pagam Habris, Hashrasas Zera, that doing that to oneself is a form, a type of self-inflicted injury. That this is something that is being wasted from the human body. It's not being used for the tachlis and the toelis that it was created. And he explains there that this is included in the issa of lo sashchis. Again, there's what to talk about with each of these. There's a lot to talk about, but we're not going to go into each one. Zayin. Oid kosav aruch laner, daloch l'moshim yisinahi. The Aruch HaNeir also suggests, again, for this it's not so partial, what are the makaris to say such a thing? But, again, we're not going to go into it, but the Aruch HaNeir says that this could be also halach l'moshe m'sinai. And it's not spelled out in Torah, but that we have a mesora from Moshe Rabbeinu through the Chachamim, that not only is this aser, but it's an aver chamur, it's a very serious issue. Ches. The Bach in Simon Gimel, Ubetshuvas Achiezer, and Rab Chaim Oizer, Lomdu Issa Zemi Halav, Shovanishmarta Mikol Dovara. Now we're going to be discussing that lav at great length when we get into the inyanim of Hirurei Aveira, of how to try to contend with the kind of inappropriate thoughts that lead to Pagam Habris. We're going to Mitzvah Shem will be spending a lot of time on how to work on those machshavas. Now, there's an issur in the Torah of nishmarta mikol dover ra. Nishmarta mikol dover, you should guard yourself mikol dover ra. Now, what does that mean? To guard yourself from anything that's evil. So, darshu chazal, shliyahara b'yayim, v'yovel l'day tuma b'layla. Again, we see that there's a certain ra, there's a certain hashchasa, that the Torah is very tsanua about discussing openly, but this nishmarta mikol dover ra is referring to a person being careful not to have inappropriate thoughts, not to cause himself by looking at things that he shouldn't look at, by reading things he shouldn't be reading, and so on, not to bring upon himself the kind of thoughts that could lead to Hashchasas Zera. So the Bach and Reb Chaim Oizer learn from Nishmat and Mikol Dover Ra, Shadoshu Chazal, Shal Yahara Bayoim, that if a person is having inappropriate thoughts during the day, then the Yole Tumah B'Layla, that he could, while he's sleeping, that could cause him to have a Mikra Layla, that there should be an unintentional Mikra Laila, that he will spill seed in his dreams at night. If he's having inappropriate thoughts during the day, that during the night that could lead to a Mikra Laila, a Mikra of Toma. Shehi Drasha Gemur. And this Drasha of Vinishmata Mikol Dover Ra, Shliyahara Bayom V'yovel Dei Tuma B'Laila, is a Drasha Gemur. In the Gemur, that's accepted as a complete and absolute drasha, a drasha gemura, and mizel lemedim shegoram or gram. Next page of the biurim shel gram shehashchas zera osur min haTorah. From here we learn that causing oneself, even with what a person is thinking about or looking at, that a gram of hashchas zera is osur. So achas kama v'kama, that for a person to go and to chalila to spill his own seed, alas kama v'kama. The Gemara is worried that a person is going to look at something during the day or think about something during the day, and that's going to unintentionally cause during the night a dream or something where he'll spill seed. Alas kama v'kama, that it's also for a person to go and intentionally to spill his own seed. So from here, the Bach and Reb Chaim Oizer learn a makar, the source of Hashchasa Zera, is being nisid deraisa. Vayin oid beperush hamishnah l'Rambam. Of course, everybody wants to know, what does the Rambam say about this? In the Perish HaMishnah, in the Perish Mishnayos of the Rambam in Sanhedrin, Shekosav Vizel Shaimai. The Rambam writes the following. Ukvar is Hiru Chachamim Harbe, Ale hear her. The Rambam says that the Chachamim are very strong and warned us a lot to not have thoughts that are bad, that are inappropriate. V'herchiku min hadvarim ha'meviyim elav. And we have all kinds of harchokas, even harchokas that to many of us would seem to be somewhat far-fetched or exaggerated, that we shouldn't have thoughts that are not appropriate. There are many such harchokas. They're brought down later in Shulchan Aruch. We're not going to go through them. We're just going to learn a little bit from the first three Se'ifim here in this sermon. But there are all kinds of Archakas. The Torah wants us to stay far away from anything that would potentially cause us to have these kind of thoughts. So the Rambam says, and therefore we find, the Rambam says, a number of Lashonis where the Chacham are threatening us and frightening us to be careful not to cause oneself to become physically excited, not to intentionally cause oneself to become, to be in that state of feeling that need to chas v'chalila be pegim the bris. Kashas Ladas means to cause oneself, again, I'm sorry for using the Lashonis, but to have a Kishui Eva, I think you know what that means, that the Eva shouldn't become hard, to cause oneself to do that. Sometimes that a person's Chalila doesn't mean anything and that's not his fault, but the Rambam says there are many warnings that the Chachamim have given us and many Harchakis that we shouldn't Chalila come to such a thing, that there's a Kishui Eva. That one should not come to spill seed. And the Rambam says, the Chachamim explained that all of these things are aser. Aval einam mechayvin malchus. B'shum dover michayotze b'zeh. However, the Rambam says, one is not chayv malchus for any of these things. One is not chayv malchus. And there's much to talk about. The Rambam's Lashon here, remember, this is not Mishnah Torah. It's not in the Yad HaChazaka. This is in Perish Mishnayos. But the Rambam's Lashon here is a little bit unclear, I mean, to us. Where the Rambam writes that the Chachamim threatened and warned and so on, Tzorach Bir. It's a little bit needs to be explained. What does that mean? Is it the Rabban or the Raisa? The Rambam doesn't spell it out. V'dash b'tshuvas pnei Yeshua will be sefer matpachas svarim from the Yavetz ba'ezim akudish, and there are many others. Kosvu she'isar shchos azeru who rak mid Rabban. So there are a number of poskim. There's no question that the large majority of poskim hold that it's nisa the Raisa. However, there are many poskim who holds it that it's a Durabanan. She is Ashkos Azera, Urak me the Rabbanan. Vizad the Loike Khalhani Rishain. Unlike the Shitas that we learned earlier, there are those who hold that it's Midrabanan. And both sides try to bring the Rambam along on their side. Obviously that's a huge pickup if you can get the Rambam on your side. And there's an effort that's made by both sides, the Daraisa school and the Rabbanim Besamedrash, that try to bring the Rambam in. But the Rambam is not clear. And it's not that we have something spelled out in Mishnah Torah either, to make it clear that we're talking about a Daraisa, the Rabbanim. V'ayim mitshuvas Torahs Chesed, from the Rav of Lublin, Pshnei Zalman from Lublin, Torahs Chesed, Shekosav Shadovze im Yesh Isatura Mamish Arakasmach the Hupluktas Atisis Rahamban. So the Torah's Chesed learns that this issue, this question, is Hashchos Hazer, is Pagam Habris, is it the Raisa de Rabbanan? This comes down to Machlokes Tosfos and the Ramban. Ladas HaTosfos from HaTorah. You already learned that. The Tosfos holds that it's a din from the Torah. It's Halach in Puravu. Ladas HaTosfos from HaTorah. Ladas Ramban, over there in the Sugi and Nida, Urak Mid Rabban Ayin Shom. I am also a Yochanan official Perla, and the Chubas of Rav Moshe, Gros Moshe, and the Chubas of the Divin Nitziv, that's the Klozenberg Rebbe Schusser Yelainu, to see these Chubas, they go into explaining this machloikis of whether it's a Deraisa or it's a Derabon. Okay, Chavre, go back to the first page, to the Mishnah Vura part, the Mishnah Se'ezer, that's where we're up to. We're up to Mishnah Se'ezer on the first page, Sif Katan Beis, where it says Mishnah Se'ezer on the right side of the page, Sif Katan Beis, where it says Lahoitzi Shichva Zer Levatol. I mean, there's a lot to talk about in Machshava and Chassidus here, which I'm holding myself back from doing, but to understand that we're going from the parashia through these parashias now, we're ending parashas Balak, and we're going into parashas Pinchas, and the whole maisa that happened there, that brought a terrible magefa upon us. 24,000 Jews died. 24,000 Jews died. Not on respirators. They didn't get a chance to even get hooked up to a respirator. 24,000 Jews died. So even though we see that Bilam's curses were changed into blessings and the brachas, nevertheless, the Torah tells us in yesterday's parasha that when Balak saw that he was unsuccessful with Bilam, and Bilam had said that he turned his face to the midbar, I forgot the exact lashon of the pasuk. I'll remember in a minute that he turned his face to the midbar. So Chazal, Rashi brings down, Chazal tell us that he was relying upon the fact that we were guilty with the Chet Egel, and as a result of the Chet Egel, that there was more than enough reason that he would be, that somehow that the Jewish people would be able to be brought down and suffer as a result of our lack of social distancing with the women, the girls of Moab, or the Benos Moab, which is exactly what happened. This is exactly what happened that led to the Magefa. And the Limud is a very deep Limud. I'm not going to go into it now, but there's a lot to talk about that Limud. That Bilam was a Kliger Mensch. He was a Rasha and he was a smart guy. And he understood that if people feel guilty enough and disgusting enough about what happened in their past, then they're going to be very vulnerable for new averus in the future. And he was right. And since he knew that there was this lingering, terrible feeling of guilt and self-loathing that we had as a result of what took place in the Midbar years earlier by the Egel, so Bilam understood that we were still stuck in that state of self-loathing and disgust. And the memories of the Chet Egel and the partying that went together with it was still very fresh in our minds. And Bilam understood that even without anybody coming from the outside and cursing them, that a Jew is more than capable of cursing himself. A Jew is more than capable of cursing himself. And that's exactly what happened. That because we were in that place of terrible disgust and a feeling of loathing, and because Chazal tell us that could anything worse have happened, that the Kala was mezana by the Chuppah, That means that the Jewish people were mizana by Har Sinai. Could anything worse happen than that? And every single Jew that was part of that kept on hearing that in his head. I was mizana by Har Sinai. I was mizana by Har Sinai. Well, you want to say, Erevah, whatever. There was an inyan of infidelity and unfaithfulness that took place at Har Sinai. And Bilam understood that when you find a Jew that's can't get out of the past and hasn't moved forward, and he hates himself and he loathes himself and he sees himself as being a weak animal, that the next thing you just need to do is to bring him to a club or to get him in the neighborhood of some pretty girls from above, and that'll be the end of it, which is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. Which Chazal say, Rashi brings down, that Bilam said, I know that the God of the Jews can't stand Zima. He hates immorality. He hates these kind of things of Gilai Raya and Sheikh Zer Levatala. That God hates this stuff. So Bilam was saying, Daiganish Rabalak, whatever we can't do to the Jews, they're going to do to themselves. It's a very big limud. Whatever we can't do to them, whatever we can't accomplish by cursing them, and God's protecting them, and God watches over them, and God put these blessings into my mouth instead of curses, all that stuff. Just leave it up to the Jews, and they're going to destroy themselves. That's mamash what happened. That he understood that we were still in that place. And as a result of that, we were easy prey for the pretty neighborhood girls. We fell right into it. Your mama slipped right into it. So Bilam didn't have to make, the curses didn't have to be piled. If a Jew curses himself in the morning, if a Jew looks at himself as being a worthless, empty behemoth, so then you don't need to have curses from Bilam to bring him down. And that's exactly what we're talking about now. The Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the Kedusha of the Kohen, the Kedusha HaKohuna, the Konei is Kenosi B'Soichem L'Chilis B'nei Yisrael, that Pinchas is Elio, it's the Malach HaBris, Elio HaNovi, Pinchas is Elio, the Gemara says in Bav Mitzin HaMakabu, Pinchas is Elio, it's the Malach HaBris, it's Makane for the Bris Mila. And Pinchas somehow saved the day to give us chizuk that we have to move forward in our lives, and we could do tshuva, we could change, we're not stuck. We got to get past the midbar, we got to get to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there's a lot to talk about. Just ha'ora that I thought about this second about the parasha that we're in. Everything is nageh. You know, when you're learning something, you have to always live with the times, like the Alter Rebbe said. And this is the time is that this parasha is Parashas Pinchas. Sif Katan Beis. La Haitzi Sheikh Vezer Levatala. No, I can't see anybody. Chaval, I miss you. All right. You still hear me, right? Okay, I guess that means yes. Laitzi Sheikh Zer Levatala. Iser Hashchosas Zera Hu Bi Yitzias HaMichutz LeGuf LeIbu. Now we're going to be learning all kinds of technicalities when it comes to this Iser. When it comes to Stam on a regular, with a regular person on a regular day. And also, if there are medical procedures that are taking place because of a couple that needs some treatment for a situation of infertility and so on. So he explains, Issa Ashchaz HaZera, this Issa, to be Mashchis the Zera, who be Yitziyoso Michutz LeGuf LeIbud. This is when it comes out from the body and it is wasted. Isser Ha'akira. But the issur is not, there's some, if, when there's some type of an excitement and there's a feeling within the guf, not that any seed came out, but there's a feeling within the guf of an arousal, of some pressure. Chol od shelo yotza hazera chutza ein elav shem zera klal. As long as the zera has not come out, it's not called zera. Vein kana isra hashchosa. And there's no isra hashchosa. Kosav hari, sheyesh ovain acher daimelizer. Well, let me just mention that in this context, again, I'm speaking very graphically, this is obviously for mature audiences only, that sometimes when a husband and a wife are together and there's some excitement before the actual ma'aseh biyah, it could be that there's some little moisture that comes out from the eiver, there's some little wetness. That, the poskim say, is not called hashchasa zera. That's what he's talking about. It's when there's a surge of zera, it's not when there's little drops that are coming out. That's not called hashchasa zera. That doesn't have a din of zera. Nevertheless, the Arizal was very makpid. Kosev Arizal, sheyesh ovain acher daimelizer, v'hu hamishamish mitosoi, v'ein ashoya ad sheyetzu kol hatipus legamrei. This is when a husband and wife were together, and the tashmish is finished. The maaser already of bia has ended. So the Ari HaKadosh was very strong to warn that the husband should not pull out, should not separate from his wife, until it seems very clear that all of the zera is finished. That whatever zera came out in the Ma'aseh Biyah, that all of that zera is already completely done. Sha'oysan Shayira Hatipas, even that there shouldn't be any drops, to the best of one's ability, that they to stay together, to remain together, until, to the best of one's ability, to determine that it's finished, there aren't even any drops coming out. Sha'oysan, why? He says, "Sha'oisan shiri hatipas ayoytzes levatola." The Ari HaKadosh taught that those little drops afterwards, we're talking about afterwards, those little drops, afapish enim ruuyim lahoilid, even though they're no longer ruuyim to fertilize his wife's the eggs of his wife, those are no longer ruuyim lahoilid to bring a baby into the world. Those drops afterwards. Im kolz and nevroim hem mezikim u'mashchisim roim. Nevertheless, the Ari HaKadosh with his Ruach HaKadosh knew that from these drops, that a person is not careful and he separates too quickly after bia, that these drops themselves create all kinds of bad spiritual energy. Whatever these mezikim u'mashchisim, chalila, some kind of destructive negative energy is generated by these drops after the ma'aseh biyah of the person, not if it was, if he thought it was finished, but if he didn't, and he was too quick in separating from his wife. So then these tipas, the Arizal taught, produce all kinds of mezikim and mashchisim. It's no good. The person has to wait. Shech v'zer levatala, sif katan gimel. Now, I mentioned this last week when we were talking about the Shita of Tosfos, that the Isra of Hashchasa Zera is a love that's built into the Aseh of having children. And that raises the question about women. Since a woman is not Mitzuvah and Puruvu, according to the Shita of Tosfos, what would be the Isra of Hashchasa Zera? But that raises a bigger question. Is there such a thing, Bechlal as Zera by a woman? What does that mean? There are Rishonim who say that there is also some type of zera by women as well. What exactly is this zera, this moisture, this wetness? The next page, continue on in the Mishnah says, First, if we assume that there is some sort of zera, then the question is a woman also included in this issur of hashchasa zera? Now, there's another part to this question which we're going to discuss right now. Even if we say that a woman does not have any kind of zera that's like a man's zera, there would still be a question of whether or not the woman, the wife, is guilty of hashchasa zera if she intentionally is mashchis her husband's zera. In other words, they're not together, and she's touching him in such a way with the intention of being mashchis his zera. Is there an issur of hashchasa zera for a woman to be mashchis the zera of her husband? I had a situation years ago with a couple. This goes back a long time, even before the shul. I remember it was a terrible situation where the husband and wife had a number of discussions about having more children, and the wife did not want to move ahead with more children. She felt that she had it. She had enough. And the husband was hoping for a larger family, wanted to have more children. And they went to speak to a therapist that I had connected them to, and to talk about the issue and so on. And she agreed that she would, with Hashem's help, that she would be okay with one more child. She agreed to that. In therapy, they came to that agreement. And unbeknownst to the husband, she was taking things to prevent her from having a pregnancy. She was intentionally avoiding a pregnancy. So besides all of the moral, ethical questions that come up with such behavior, and I'm sure she's not the only one that is desperate enough to do such a thing. Besides that question of whether the bechlal is something that one can do or should do or is not allowed to do, or was it? But then the issue is, here the husband thought that he was making a hishtadlus in the midst of Peruvu, and he with the intention of procreating, and with that intention of being together, and she intentionally, she was doing something to intentionally prevent that from happening. So how do we look at that in halacha? Is there an inyan of hashchasa zera? Do we say that there's some sort of hashchasa zera on the part of the wife? So this is a very big question among the poskim. Yesh ayim, on the top line of Mishnah says, Yesh ayim shakal misha and muzah pervivya and muzah hashchasa zera. There are those who hold that, most notably Rabbeinu Tam, that whoever is not included in the mitzvah of Peruvu, and a woman is not chayv in Peruvu, so whoever is not obligated to have children is enem muzhar al hashchas hazer, is not muzhar an hashchas hazer. Now that's hashchasa zera shel atzma. Even if you say that there is some sort of zera that a woman has, since she's not chayv in the mitzvah of peruvu, remember the sheet of Taisvus is that the issur of hashchasa zera is a din in peruvu, and Rabbeinu Tam, of course, is also in that Beis HaMedrash. So, since a woman is not mitzvah al puruvu, she is not obligated to mitzvah puruvu, and you hold that what? That the isva shchasa zera is a din in puruvu, so she's not in this isser of hashchasa zera, even if there is some sort of zera, shel atzma. V'yeshe pishu atam yishum sh'anoshim mazriyas b'fnim, v'loika anoshim sh'mazriyam b'chutz. And there are others that say, look, this is really more of a of a biological, physiological question. And these Rishonim hold this is also brought down the Galina Tosfos. These hold that when it comes to a woman, their zera is something which is internal. It's inside of their bodies. There's no hotsoas zera. There's no expulsion of seed. And since the issue of Pgam HaBris is only hotsas zera levatala, by a woman there's no hotsas zera according to these Rishonim. Therefore, there's no din of hashchas zera. And there are those who disagree with all of this. It's a formidable group of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ran. And they go back and show what happened by the Mabul, by the flood. It says in the generation of the flood, Hishchis kol basar, that all human beings were guilty of hashchas zera, meaning that women have some sort of zera, and that women were guilty as well. Hishchis kol basar, v'kulon loka b'mabul, and everybody was killed with the flood. Even though women are not mitzvahs on the mitzvah of Puravu. These Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, and they say that the issue of Hashchas HaZera is not dependent upon the mitzvah of Puravu. Ein issue Hashchas HaZera tolu b'mitzvahs Puravu. And not only that, the Pasuk says that Hashem, aside from the mitzvah Puravu, Hashem wants us to make a hishtadlus beyond the strict requirement of Puravu, is a din of Leshevis Yitzhar. That means to populate the world, to bring more neshamas into this world. Now we have another issue, a practical issue, besides the ones that I mentioned earlier. What about if the husband and wife are together, everything is 100% kedasu kedin, everything 100% according to halacha, and she immediately rinses out the zera. In other words, the zera that just was emitted inside of her, and this could potentially bring to birth, and she wants to clean it at this immediately. So yesh, just another minute. So this is the issue we spoke about a minute ago. Is there an issue for her to be mashchis the zera of her husband? She's not mitzvah puru. Or is she allowed to agree to have some impediment inside of herself that is going to cause the zera of her husband to become destroyed? Or some medication or some cream, which she's being mashkes the zera of her husband. She's not mitzvah puru. So it's a big machlokes, it seems. Tosfos and these Rishonim. There's another thing. Once the zera has already left the man's guf and it's already in his wife, then it's no longer called hashchas zera. Maybe the fact that she does something to the zera afterwards is no longer called an issue of hashchas zera at all. It's no longer called hashchas zera. So it's a big machlokes there. The Sharatini brings a little bit more. It's all machlokes. We're showing him regarding this, and there's a whole Avni Nezer over here, and other Achronim that talk about this. Is there a din of Arvis? They call Yisrael Arevim, that every Jew is responsible for another Jew. So even if she's not Mitzuvah on Puravu, is there a halach of koyis alarevim to see to that my husband, that I'm not aiding and abetting the hashchasas there of my husband? These are all very big questions. That she is musheris on the hashchasas there of her husband. Well, there were many women, it's not so common these days, but there were women that would go to the mikveh of Yom Kippur. They would go to the mikveh of Yom Kippur. Isha Shimshu B'Sah Gimel Yomim Oslo L'Chabit Beisa K'shi Samach L'Tfilosa. There's a din that a woman who within the past 3 days was with her husband, she should not do something intentionally to try to clean out the rechem from any seed. In order to allow that there would be some sort of pregnancy, and she would engage in such a thing before going to the mikveh, then she could be causing there to be a hashchasas zera of the husband. Again, I'm not going to go into this in great details, but this is the question. Is there a din, is there an issur for it to be mashchas the zera of her husband? Another question, a side question where this will end today, that if you have somebody that's not able to have children, is there an issue of hashchasas zera when it comes to somebody like a saris that can't have children? So it's machlokes achronim, im yesh lov issue hashchasas zera. Yesh oim sh'af hu mitzuv al hashchasas zera. There are those who say, yes, he also is mitzuv al hashchasas zera. It's brought down from the Binyan Tzion, the Ben Yishchai, and others. And there are those who disagree, yesh chalkim, that say that no, he's not chayv. It's brought down from the Eish, the Shevet Sefer, as you'll see, the Moshe Mordechai, Tzitz Eliezer, and others say that such an individual who's incapable of having children, that he's not in the Isser of Hashchasas Zera. Now, with all of these things, there are many nafkim in Isser Halacha, and next week we'll begin to talk about some of the medical procedures where many of these halachas regarding Zera Levatala kick in Lamais to a Jews who are totally wonderful and are trying to do the best thing. They're trying to have children. We're not talking about to be pagan libris, but to bring more Jewish children to the world. So we're going to continue that, Mitzvah Hashem, next week. As Hashem, everybody should be healthy and strong and well. And all of us should have Zara Chai V'Kayama, that our children and our grandchildren should be healthy and well. We should be Zarechim, Mitzvah Hashem, the time that all of these things are going to be so clear to us and will be so strong that our Teva will be healed in such a way that we'll only be able to talk about good things and more Yiddish and the Shalom is coming into the world and being able to bring Mashiach Sekeinu with the blessing of our Mitzvah. May he be amen, amen, amen. Shkoyach HaBayis.